In the cliffs of Limpopo's Blouberg Nature Reserves, a program to protect South Africa's largest breeding colony of endangered Cape vultures is beginning to bear fruit, thanks to a grassroots conservation push by Volpro, an organization formed to safeguard these misunderstood scavengers. Well, joining us is Kerry Walter, Volpro CEO and tireless advocate for Africa's vultures, to explain how community engagement is changing the game. Hi, Kerry. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I think we, first of all, you know, we're familiar with the plight of rhinos and other endangered species. So what's happening with Cape vultures and why are they critically endangered?
So vultures are listed as vulnerable. Thankfully, they're not critically endangered. And in fact, they're a species after years and years of conservation intervention. Things are looking up. However, there are a species that is highly sought after for belief-based purposes. And this is very prevalent in the Limpopo province, specifically around the Blouberg Cape Vulture colony, which is surrounded by communities that have a very big belief in the traditional belief-based system out there.
So what are they used for, Muti?
They are. They're used for muti. There's a belief that vultures have, because their eyesight is so incredibly sharp, that they believe that they are a clairvoyant and can see into the future. So they are used for any kind of gambling methods. So whether it be the national lotto or horse gambling, card gambling, any kind of method to be able to perceive your future. You know, that could also be matric exams, for example. So they really do believe that the vulture's eyes and the brain are a doorway into being able to foresee into the future.
Sure. So how many get killed annually?
I can't, you know, there's very little research because it's a subject that has, you've got to look at one's safety, but you're looking at probably over 100 or so that are used a year. It's obviously illegal, so it's you know, under the table. So it's very, very difficult to actually get to the grips with how many really are being used. But, you know, and this number is just probably a fraction of really what is out there.
Well, they're quite astute. So how are they caught?
So your young birds, specifically in the Blouberg area, what happens is it's the largest Cape vulture colony in the world. Cape vultures are only endemic to Southern Africa. It's about 4,500 breeding pairs left. And what happens is the young birds, when they fledge, if the weather condition is not suitable and they fledge and they leave the cliff faces, the only place to go is down. Specifically, if the weather is not good, they rely on thermals in order to fly and to stay aloft. And if there are no thermals, they become grounded. And because the communities live, you know, at the foothills of the Blouberg Mountains, yeah, they're very easy to capture once they become grounded because they're very heavy birds. If there's no lift, they're almost like an aeroplane. You need a bit of a runway in order to get in to get lift. And so if they're cornered or if it's rain, if there's heavy rainfall, they get waterlogged and they just cannot fly if they're wet or if they're just no thermals.
Tell us about the program that you've launched to help these vultures.
So what we've done is we've now got a specific lady that goes into the communities, and it really is trying to create awareness, educate, but also get apathy and empathy for the birds, which I think is really, really important. You know, you cannot protect a species without getting, firstly, people to be emotionally connected to them. So we're trying to get the community to actually connect with the birds. Then to obviously understand the importance, and then to become custodians of the species. And we've been pretty successful in that. Now we have school kids that are contacting us, you know, alerting us to vultures being harvested or vultures being caught. And so they really are buying into becoming custodians. There's no monetary reward for doing this. It's their goodwill and actually taking the conservation to heart, which is where we want to get to. So we believe it's relationship building, it's trust, it's an understanding on both ways, understanding what their needs are, what their difficulties are, and how we can try and make their lives easier, and to create an understanding that live vultures are worth a lot more than a population or a species that goes extinct.
And tell us about the woman. Is that Philippine Macubela?
Yes, that's Philippine. Yes, yeah. So she's fairly new to Volpro, Philippine, and she's specifically been employed in order to tackle this ambitious task and to create, as I said, for us, before Philippine, we would go in maybe four times a year, but we felt that we needed to actually be there on a daily basis and to create to nurture a relationship, because going there four times a year is really not going to do anything. But you really want to become part of the community and to become a trustworthy member of the community in order to create change.
Well, so it's realistic to aim for the total eradication of this practice.
I don't think we will ever get that. And I don't think that that's our idea. I mean, it would be fantastic. But, how do you change a person's belief systems? And that's pretty much what we are attempting to do. So obviously we're going to the younger generation, and the younger generation can then hopefully go to their family members, peers, colleagues, and try and change it in that manner. So this is going to, it's a long-term project. It's not something that's going to be a quick fix, but it is something that if we can nurture the younger generation and hopefully create change in that manner. But as I said, it's very ambitious because you're really trying to change a person's religious beliefs and how they deal with their culture. And so we're not planning to change, absolutely everyone, but we are hoping to create a significant positive impact for the species and an understanding that alive vultures are worth a lot more than dead. And also looking at modern medicine, it's I always find it quite interesting how we talk about traditional healers and belief-based use, but everyone's using cell phones. And even if you look at communities, everybody's got satellite TV and watching DSTV. So there's got to be an element of understanding what are we talking about when we're looking at traditional and cultural and then bringing in modern. And where is the fine line? And it's to kind of understand those aspects. But we try and get them to make the change. So instead of being, instead of telling them, we try and get them to speak more than us speaking, because again, it's to try and get that empathy and to get them, it needs to come from them. We don't want to be the ones that are preaching. We want to give them the information, and we are creating the difference where they are coming to us, they wanting to be part of the change. So we do, we give them the analogy, we give them examples, but they're the ones that are making change. They're the ones who are taking it upon themselves to become informants, because they want to see change as well.
Well, can the lessons learned at Blouberg be applied across Southern Africa to save vultures in other areas?
That's what we're hoping to do. So we're hoping to use Blouberg as a flagship project, and then to take that to other hotspot areas where we know there's a side-by-side community living with colonies. Here in the Eastern Cape, we've done just that. We've gone into the Transkei areas, into the communities, but it's quite different in the Eastern Cape. The communities there are already the custodians. They are already championing conservation. Where it's slightly different, they're still very much the old school. very much that there's a chief, that you need to speak to the chief and ask for permission to go and actually monitor their birds. And because they believe it's their birds, there's a sense of ownership and championing the survival and conservation. Where at Bloberg, you have, it's a very interesting dynamic because you've got this line between modern society and your old society. And that's what we find in Bloberg. So, you know, there's quite a lot of differences, you know, to the different provinces and different areas. So I think Bloberg is quite unique in that there is no specific chief compared to here in the Eastern Cape. So we definitely want to apply it, but I think our methodology may be different according to where we head to next.
What is your background? Why this interest in vultures?
My background is I've always had a huge love and passion for animals. I've always believed that I'm here on planet Earth to make a difference. And when I was younger, I thought I was going to do anything with horses. I've been riding horses since I was 3 years old. So horses and dogs are my big thing. And vultures just evolved. I had an opportunity of raising a vulture chick, and I think that was the big change. And, you know, having this little chick in my hand and understanding from there the fragility of the species, it kind of became a calling. And you know, to cut a long story short, 23 years later, I'm still trying to advocate for, you know, the plight of vultures and trying to be their voice and trying to create this human connection, you know, because so I'm not an ornithologist, so I'm a conservationist, and I firmly believe that it is our responsibility to nurture and protect all species, and that their survival rests solely in our hands, whether it be places like Kruger National Park, or whether it be, you know, unfenced areas. And vultures to me are the epitome of freedom. And yet they're so misunderstood, but so incredibly important. And so if I can create an emotional connection and change in how people see vultures, then I think I've maybe made a difference for them.
Raising a vulture chick sounds dangerous. I mean, they can peck.
Not when they're young. They're actually very sweet. They look like just bigger little chickens, I guess. You know, very weak feet. They are very, very cute. But they don't try and bite you at all. You know, it's and I think, you know, we definitely use the breeding program in order to showcase the fragility, but also that vultures can be cute. You know, after 5 months, they're fully grown, but they can fit in. I mean, they're so small, they weigh, you know, 140 grams when they hatch, and they get up to 11 kilograms. So it's a species, again, that you wouldn't think is cute, and yet they are so cute in their own right. And I think that's what changed me. You know, is seeing a different side of them. And that's what you can see with breeding, is you really do see the parental bond, how caring and sensitive vultures can be. And I think it's something that human beings can learn from, because not all parents are compassionate, caring. And sometimes it's just the mom, or sometimes it's just the dad. And yet in the vulture world, it's both parents. And in fact, sometimes they fight over who's going to protect or keep the chick warm or feed the chick. It's quite funny, actually. I just think human beings can really learn about parental behavior sometimes.
Well, just lastly, why are vultures important?
So vultures help prevent the spread of diseases. And why I say that is they're the most efficient scavenger and the only scavenger that can actually consume carcasses that have been people that are exposed to disease or have died of various diseases. And the acidity in their stomach is so incredibly strong that it breaks down those bacteria, which means that if they consume a carcass that's, for example, died of anthrax, they don't get affected. But by consuming that carcass so rapidly, it helps prevent that disease from being spread to either wildlife, domestic animals, as well as human beings as well. So they really are hugely important in order to help prevent the spread of diseases and keep our environment safe and clean.
Kerry, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Pleasure, thank you.